Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
As I look at this initially, the one thing that really jumps out to me that I love, transportation and warehousing, those are the jobs that were supposed to be hit, right?
Yeah,
up 29,000. Yep. The prior 3 months was up 2,000, up 18,000, up 17,000. An acceleration in those type of jobs that were supposed to be the ones that were hit. So maybe some of this manufacturing, some of these deals that the White House has announced, maybe we're starting to see that already play out. I know that we saw earlier in the week Elon Musk needing another 1,000 workers, Taiwan Semiconductor starting their third plant in Arizona. So this is phenomenal. Goods producing was a positive job number. This is just, it just proves that we have an economy that all the experts continue to underestimate. And I think they're looking through a prism of political hatred, for lack of a better term, rather than being logical about the greatest economy in the world. There are reasons countries want to come here. There's a reason people buy our treasuries. There's a reason a dollar is the world's reserve currency. And the notion that they can flip a switch and find a replacement for America is nuts. And yet that's been the Wall Street narrative all along.
That's right, because the media can't get out of its Trump derangement syndrome. And just
I don't know. I mean, even if it's hard to even understand when you look at jobs numbers, what the hell's happening? Because the media, if you're reading the media, because the way the media puts it, we're all dying a horrible death. And that's just kind of the way it is. And it's because to Trump. I mean, you can't get a fair shake. And people wonder why no one trusts the rat bastard press, because you can't get a fair shake from any of them. If you look at any of the headlines, it's, oh my gosh, the jobs are horrible. And then they're more upset over stupid NPR than they are of anything else. They're livid over that. They're livid over it. They don't understand the relationship between incessant government spending and the economy and jobs. They don't get it. These people are just, I don't know if they don't, it's because they're communists. Either that or they just want to be willfully stupid. It's one of the two. And it's frustrating because it's all of our tax dollars. It's frustrating because we're the ones who have to foot the bill for all of this stuff. I don't know. We got a lot of stuff to hit today. And just to get you set up for the weekend, welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour. And that's, you know, the top thing today. We have jobs. We have another executive order. And I know I sound like a broken record. And I don't care when I talk about how Republicans in the House have to do something, because look, we've got another EO that came out, an executive order that came out. And this is the executive order. POTUS says it's about biased media with regards to NPR and the government, the subsidization of it. And he was saying that, I completely agree. Why the hell do taxpayers, why do we have to fund any of this stuff? Why do we have to fund a single bit of it? And I keep seeing these media people go, oh, well, I learned, like Jake Tapper was like, well, I learned to read because, you know, of Sesame, what did he say, Sesame Street? He learned to read because of Sesame Street or something like that. Sesame Street isn't even owned, by the way, by PBS anymore. They sold that they're not even owned by PBS anymore. It's just, it's asinine. They don't even understand this stuff. And also, you know, if they cared so damn much about it, why can't they write a check for it themselves? Why is it always our responsibility to do it? You know, that's just real rich, the left, isn't it? Super rich. It's cheap sentiment. I hate cheap sentiment. I hate cheap sentiment more than anything else in the world. It's lazy and it's callous. And I hate it, especially with this, because these people make a big deal about, oh, you've got to support public broadcasting. You've got to support it. Oh my gosh, look at all these Muppets are going to be out of work. If you don't support this, all these Muppets, what are they going to do? What's Big Bird going to, well, they don't own him anymore. So, you know, there you go. They don't even own him anymore. But the thing is write a check. Write a check. if you care so damn much about it. Headline after headline. So let me just show you here. I hate following the legacy press. I hate starting off my Friday by following these. I'm not going to use my get out of jail free card with the FCC on this, but you get the sentiment. Let's see. Trump, tyrant Trump ending federal funding for NPR and PBS. Yeah. But my favorite is, I saw a couple. One of them was saying, tyranny, Trump, Trump expanding propaganda, ending public funding for PBS. Okay. Explain to me how, oh my gosh. Is it too early to day drink to get with these people? Good night. The other one, the executive order, blah, blah, blah. Some of them are, I will say, some of them, like AP, had a pretty benign, but everybody else is just garbage. Oh, Trump is ending federal funding to NPR and PBS. And then there are all of these ancillary stories. You know, how many children have been benefited by NPR and PBS? Why? First off, if your kids only learn how to read from PBS and NPR and all this stuff, you're a crap parent. You're a glorified welfare parent that expects Uncle Sam to raise your child. Shame on you. Get sterilized. What? I mean it. I'm tired of this. It's asinine. But they're like, oh my gosh, Trump's a... Did you guys know that it's propaganda to end public funding for government media? Let that one sink in. The same, by the way, these are the same people who were like, no, that Hunter Biden laptop story, it's just not important. It's not important, and it's just a local story, local crime story. That's what they said this whole time. That's how they put it. So I'm happy to see this because I don't want my I actually stopped. And like I said, Sesame Street's not even owned by them anymore. But I remember when I was in college and they had, who was that old lady doctor who talked about sex all the time? Ruth something. I keep wanting to say Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but that's a SCOTUS judge. She's dead too.
It's
but
Dr. Ruth.
It's Dr. Ruth Weissenrochnamer. I can't remember her last name. Yeah. Anyway, she was literally on Sesame Street one day. I remember I was in college and I had no idea. I was like flipping through channels after school one day and I saw her on Sesame Street and I'm like, that's the sex lady. Why is she on Sesame Street? You can Google it. She's been on a ton of times. Can anybody explain to me why? Like, what was the purpose of that's what I'm saying. Like I get it. They would have celebrity guests and stuff, but that's the first time I went, wait a minute, why is this lady on? I mean, I get it that she's famous, but famous for what? And why is she on a kid's show? Okay, groomer. All right. I just, it's kind of weird, but I don't see the point of it. If they love it so damn much, then all of you rich leftists out there, get off your fat, slovenly backsides and write your own damn check. I'm tired of the cheap. These people don't care about NPR and PBS. You know what? That's just nothing but a bumper sticker to them. These morons don't care about any of this stuff. And if they did, they would donate to it. If you see a cause that you like, what do? You donate to it. You would donate freely of your own free will, correct? Your own volition. You would write the check. You would donate. You see the little red kettle, the Salvation Army for Christmas. What do? You put money in the kettle of your own free will, your own volition. You do it yourself. You don't wait for someone to force you and everybody else to put a paltry amount. That's the leftist idea of charity. The least we can do for you through the ineffective arm of the government. That's what we're going to do. The least. And they call it caring. They act like that's caring. Oh, we care about public welfare. No, you guys don't. They absolutely do not. You know, like the left actually spends the least on this kind of charitable stuff, by the way. They love funding, street activism and, burn, loot, murder and all that. Oh, they love that all day long. They've actually done studies on this. We've talked about this on air before when said studies came out. But it's actually Christians that donate more than anybody, by the way, just FYI. But I digress. The act of writing one's own check and sending an extra check to the Treasury, clearly they understand how to do this. They just don't want to because it's not the same. They think that it's charitable to force everybody to part with your hard-earned tax dollars to send to this stuff. Actually, Masterpiece Theater is the only thing I like. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a big kid. you know, make my own decisions, live my own life. And I wanted that because I don't ever watch. I hardly ever watch cable. And there was one series that I wanted to watch, and it's a masterpiece thing. And that's on public broadcasting, right? PBS Masterpiece. I will pay $12 for a season pass for a series. I don't mind paying that if I want to watch it and it's good content. Now, why can't they do that? Oh, no, everyone has to fund it. By the way, if they're getting that much in tax dollars, why do I have to buy a damn season pass on a streaming service in order to watch it? But that's a whole other gripe that I have. They don't answer your emails when you ask them. I mean, politely, by my terms, they don't answer emails on it. So they can do this themselves. This has always been the problem with the communist left, though. Communists are always like this. Oh, it's so, and I think Thatcher had a quote, something to that extent. It's always easy to be generous with other people's money. And that's exactly what this is. They want to be generous, just not with their money. They want to be generous with your money because they want to spend their money on things like George Soros and his Tides Foundation and, you know, far left activist DAs. That's what they want to spend their money on. They'll leave this stuff. They'll just browbeat you all into spending money on this. Now, the thing that makes me the angriest about this, about the reaction to it, is that the Republicans in Congress don't have a reaction to it. What are they doing to codify any of this? There is not a single thing that they're debating on the floor right now about codifying any of these executive orders in place. You know what that means? We lose in 2028. Guess what? You may have like a Gavin Newsom who will undo every single one of these. In fact, it's not even guaranteed that if you get another Republican president that they won't undo these just as easy with a pen. That's not legislating. And I get it that it's all he can do right now because you have these do-nothing Republicans in Congress. I get it. But that's not legislating. That's just signing an executive order and using, you know, the nominal authority that you have in that instance to do it. That's all it is. We need to see some action. They got together for a group photo yesterday, the House Republicans, and I was really trying to be on my best behavior by not commenting on it publicly. So I feel like I need back pats. I need some kind of positive. I don't respond to criticism. Positive reinforcement is my only motivator. And I just, you know, I feel really good about myself because I didn't shred them like they deserve, because I don't care about your stupid class photos. Get thine backsides on the floor and get something done. Otherwise, all of this is for naught. The clock is ticking. It's ticking. It is ticking. We don't have a lot of time. We really don't. Because now they're going to start. They're already starting with the midterm process. My gosh, you already see they're already pushing 2028 stuff. So we don't have a lot of time. And all of these tricky Republicans that have been dragging their feet this whole time, what do you think is going to happen the closer that we get to fall and people start filing and getting ready for these midterm elections? Do you think that they're going to be more amenable to come to the conservative constitutionalist perspective? If they won't now, when they're a little far removed from an election, how do you think it's going to work when we're in the middle of an election cycle? And these people who at the safest moment could not bring themselves, they could not be prevailed upon to pass any legislation on this. Do you think it's going to get easier? If you do, I have a bridge to sell you. It's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. I don't know. We got a lot more on the way as we barrel towards already the bottom of this first hour. As we roll towards headlines, our partners that help bring you the program, our friends over at All Family Pharmacy, they've got you covered, whatever it is that you need. Is it any of the medications or therapeutics that the system tried to keep from you during lockdown? You know, things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which are so completely safe to take. I mean, they even allow pregnant women. They sometimes will suggest hydroxychloroquine for them. Because you can't rush through experimental injections and hand Pfizer multi-billion dollar paydays if you don't ban therapeutics. This is the thing. Like they didn't just dismiss alternatives. They outright destroyed them. They wanted you to rely on the government and just listen to whatever they were ordering you to do. Well, things have changed. And there's All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy has your daily maintenance medications. They also have the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, everything. Simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, online ordering, shipping in just 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch if you need it. Everything is made in the USA. All of their medications are manufactured right here in the USA, ensuring high standards of quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code Dana10. Don't wait. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Use coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
Beware of the import tax. When you're buying stuff online and don't know where it's coming from, you might want to check at the end before you check out. A $63 item on Temu has an $89 import charge. Buy American.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I read some kind of article that said that all the horses that are racing, like in the Derby and that, they all are basically have some form of secretariat lineage. That's amazing. Kentucky Derby, the 151st running of the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby. I don't even understand what the point of this story is. There's a horse called Journalism that's the top choice? That poor horse. Why'd you give that horse that name? Why'd you give that? That horse is too pretty for that. But apparently that horse is the... I watch for the hats. I really don't care. I don't. I love the pageantry of it, and I love the hats. You're not doing the Derby right if you don't got your mint julep. I love that mint julep. I mean, I love the looking at the horses, but I'm not watching the horse races. I'm like, oh my God, the horses are so pretty. And I'm looking at all that. I love it. I do love that. But Kentucky Derby, American is get out. So that's pretty cool. So the horse journalism, that's going to be the horse that's tipped. That's the favor. Steve says he likes American Promise. Now that's a great horse name. Yeah. How do you name a horse like this? How do you name one of these horses?
No,
they're
name.
All like fancy, meaningful names.
The next one will be Noname.
Oh my gosh, stop. We're not going to do Noname. Not having that. The tariffs. Apple results top Wall Street estimates as iPhone sales rise. They've already moved so much of their stuff to India and elsewhere out of China. They really have moved a lot out of China. I think they don't get enough credit for that. You know, I'm just saying. So far, I guess, you know, I thought those tariffs were supposed to kill all that stuff. Guess not. Although they were exempt. Weren't phones and some of the other stuff, things exempt. McDonald's U.S. sales are in decline in a shaking economy. Kane says they should start using beef tallow again. Yeah. That's kind of crazy if McDonald's sales are down. Like, in a tough economy, usually those are the things that stay pretty, like, even. Yeah, they stay pretty reliable. California. Most Californians, according to a new poll from Newsweek, they want more guns in schools to protect their kids. Of course they do. We have a lot more on the way. The big budget, the fight over what to slash. Stick with us. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings. Just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Guys, remember the letter people? I remember the letter people. They didn't teach me how to read at all, though. They were on PBS. I just thought the song was catchy, and it sounded like it was written by a long-haired, barefoot hippie.
And it was.
It totally was.
Tall teeth. Was my
tall
favorite
Texas
character.
T.
Remember Tall T?
Tall T. Yeah. He's got tall teeth. I remember that. Yeah, the letter people, it was entertaining, but they didn't teach me how to read. That's first off, welcome back. We're in a weird mood. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. We're talking about the funding, the PBS stuff, and how they're trying to, you know, the POTUS has this executive order. Congress is going to sit here and twiddle their thumbs, not do anything. And then it's all going to, we're only getting a reprieve from this because Congress isn't doing anything to codify it. But I was a latchkey kid, like the quintessential Gen Xer. And these shows didn't teach me nothing. Although the stereotypes are true. And Kane, you can attest to this. You know, we know how to get blood out of clothes. We grew up drinking hose water. We were filled with neglect. And yet we were still happy and, you know, pretty much thriving, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, because we didn't know better.
We knew how to make our own meals by like 9 years old. Like, we knew how to do all this. You could throw us out in the middle of nowhere and we'd survive.
I think by seven, I think I knew how to make a full meal by seven.
Yeah. Like, you would run around the neighborhood all day during the summer and just basically hope that some neighbor gives you a sandwich. Like one of your friends' families would give you a sandwich. My favorite thing in the world, there's this one family, one of my friends, our family was kind of broke. I mean, we were poor kids, but we had a friend that was, you know, pretty well off, right? I mean, you know, upper middle class. It wasn't like dynasty or nothing, but you know, they were pretty well off. But man, their mom would go, when she would come back from the grocery store, it was like Christmas for us. We're like, what? And she would have like all this lunch meat and then all the potato chips. I've never seen anybody buy like five bags of potato chips at the store. They had two kids. And I mean, it was good eating. Yeah. It was good eating then. Not that we were poor. I don't want to say like we were like, well, I mean, when I was a kid, we were, yeah. When I was a teenager, it got a little better.
There was like a lunch meat boom in the 80s. Like all the families enjoyed the old lunch meat.
Lunchables and Hot Pockets. And I think I'm partially made of them.
And that's how we used to categorize our friends, like based on what their moms would give us.
Dude, right. Isn't that right? That is absolutely
correct. Some moms would be like, sure, you can have Kool-Aid. And some moms are like, there's too much sugar in that.
Oh my gosh. The moms that made you drink just like fruit flavored water. That was abusive. You know, that right there, that's abusive. Should have called Division of Family Services on you ladies because that was mean. It's like you're drinking and you don't want to be rude and you're sipping it like,
Tom's mom has Doritos.
Oh, man. So great. And the families that just let you take the bag and you would run around the house or whatever with your friends. There's a special place in heaven for them moms. Yeah. So, I never learned how to read anything from these shows. Nope. But all of the leftists are like, there's going to be just an epidemic of stupid children. Well, they're already good. It's already happening. First off, that's already happening. Have you seen our test scores? Good old Randy Weingarten's up there getting hers and then screw them kids. That's how she looks at it. But only that, they're going to be able to sit here and tell you all the made up genders, but they can't do math. So, yeah, we were already struggling academically. Especially compared to some other countries, because our educational system is just insane and we punish really good educators and we reward the frauds. And not on top of it, then you have the frauds that are like, we need to teach people about, you know, gay sex when they're in second grade. Let's do it. That's not educational. It's brainwashing. So no wonder these people don't care about these kids. I also think, too, and I don't know why this fascinates me. I think it's very nostalgic. Compared to today's kid shows to the kids' shows of yore, right? I showed my kids one day, this is some years ago, Bugs Bunny, like old Bugs Bunny, Warner Brothers, right? And they were shocked. They were shocked. I forced them to watch it. I was like, this is good. We're watching Warner Brothers today. I mean, that's how I was that meme.
The violence.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm going to desensitize you to this programming, this societal programming. So they watched, and they ended up loving it. I will say, it wasn't PBS that got me into like classical music and all of that. Not like I'm into it, but I enjoy it. It was Bugs Bunny and Killed a Wabbit. Got me into Wagner. Killed a Wabbit. PBS didn't do that. I learned about all that from Bugs Bunny. I learned every bit of that from Bugs Bunny. I learned about geology as an adult from Minecraft. So, we didn't learn nothing from PBS or NPR. These people are lying to you, parents. They're lying to you, lying to your face. You know what you get now on PBS? That bald, whiny kid, Caillou. I'm just a kid who's for each day. I hate that kid. That kid made me believe in abortion. I'm joking. It's not, no, but for him.
Take that back.
I will not. I believe he should be aborted.
Take that back.
Caillou. Do the world a favor. That Canadian whiner. It's like a bald Justin Trudeau up there. Hate him. Hate him to death. Happy, oh, my gosh. That show would
Friday,
come on.
Everyone. Oh. Happy Friday, everyone.
Well, you all, what, you think there are people out there in the audience that love Caillou? All you people watching and listening all across the nation? Y'all hate that kid. I know it.
It's, but they don't let animation change their stance on abortion.
I just said for him.
What?
Like, I don't want him to exist. Like post-birth, I'll give into a little post-birth abortion just for the sake of Caillou. Some might call it murder. Now we're going to borrow Democrats. It's not murder if I say it's not murder, you know? Can't stand Caillou.
But can we have like a substantive conversation about why it's also dumb? Because how many stations across the country exist without a dime of federal money? They actually have a business model that allows them to exist.
What? What is so that, say having, government status?
So over 15,000 radio stations across the country, mm-hmm. over 2,500 broadcast TV stations across the country, they all have to operate without a dime of federal money. Maybe during election season is about as close as they get to federal money. So I don't understand how people can conflate the two ideas where just taking away federal money doesn't mean that they can't operate as a business. They can do that if they want to. I don't understand why. I don't get it.
I don't think they know how to sell anything. Of course, you know, it's all maybe get better, some better programming. I don't know. Julia Child had a program on there in the days of yore. You can see some of it on YouTube. Yeah. I mean, if you want to support it. I don't care. But not with, don't force everybody to do it with our sure. tax dollars.
And it's all community driven, which any successful radio station is mostly focus on the community.
Right.
So,
I mean, my big thing is the way that I see these I've seen a number of people on the left, and like, I'm not talking about randos. I mean, you know, these are people who are cable news commentators or editorialists, and they act like this is a formative building block for children. I think that they have an outsized description of the role that public broadcasting plays in the lives of people, particularly children, with us. Because I have a million headlines here where they're all acting like our kids are going to be dumb and not able to read and can't do math and everything's going to go to hell because...
So today?
Yeah, because we're not going to be funding this stuff. And we all know that that's... But are there people who believe this? I mean,
I argue it's because we funded this stuff.
Yeah.
Is why all of our kids are so dumb.
I mean, ma'am, our kids aren't dumb. You know, maybe theirs are, but... You know.
Right. But statistically, as we see now, we have a good... Like, we're talking above 50% that cannot read.
Yeah.
At eighth grade levels.
And it got worse over when everything got locked down. That's when Randy Weingarten and her surrogates, they just wanted to be able to have a vacation. Man, that thunder. It's so, by the way, welcome back to the program, Dana Lash. It is Stormin' Norman here in Texas. Whoo, boy. So, again, I'm just going to warn you, if the power goes out, we're going to be here in the dark. But we'll power through. Our generator will kick in. We'll power through. But there is a chance. It's always a 50% chance. That thunder is crazy out there. It's dark. I do suspect maybe a tornado, Kane.
It could be.
If a nader blows in here, you know, just saying. Just saying. All right, a couple of other things I want to hit. Because we have I have a lot on the budget. You guys want to break from the budget? You want me to keep going with the budget? Because I got a lot. They're they're looking at slashing. Let's see. The way that it's NBC. Oh, he's slashing everything but growing the military. Well, the Constitution actually only allows for military funding if you want to be really pesky about it. They allow for nominal amounts of public funding for things like things like in Article 1, Section 8, where they get into essentially about preserving American culture ultimately is what it goes down to. So there's different... You know, to create like an arts endowment, things of that nature. There is some nominal federal support for that, but that's all going towards preserving American culture, not like we're going to fund all of this extra pork nonsense. But I don't believe that military spending, and we talked about this yesterday. We had, you know, our the Secretary of the Army and General George, Chief of the Army, they were on the program talking about the major cuts that they were going to be making and how they're going to allocate, reallocate these resources to the future of drone warfare. Drone warfare is where it's at. We're going to get to the point where we don't have human resources necessarily on the ground. The human resources are going to be running. We're going to have AI that are going to be rolling out all of our strategy. And then we're going to have people just implementing that. And we're going to have like unmanned, you know, aerial assault thingies. It's the official term. I don't know if you know that. It's a UAT, unmanned aerial, UAAT, unmanned aerial assault thingies. It's the official military term. You heard it here first. It's a scoop for you guys because we're special. But yeah, you know, and we're going to be using those instead. I mean, drone swarms are crazy, and you can really do a carry out a war of attrition with something like that while preserving your human resources. And we're kind of behind it. Now, I had a headline that I think I sent this out in your prep. I'm going to make sure. For those of you that get the prep email, I had a link in there. Okay, yeah. Navy prioritizing the Middle East. Meanwhile, China encircles Taiwan. This is less about getting involved for the sake for Taiwan. We have a treaty with Taiwan. But I think this also is China continues to build in an aggressive manner its presence in the Pacific, particularly in the South Seas, and then extending beyond that. And I just feel like we have such a focus on the Middle East that we're not watching this directly to our back, so to speak. And I hope that at some point when we start getting a little bit more technologically current with our military programs, et cetera, that we can remedy this because this is it's concerning, especially after they now try to claim that one coral reef out there and act like it was a Chinese landmass. Therefore, all the water going to that little coral reef way out in the middle of the ocean is their waters, and it's no longer international waters. Anything that they can do to try to claim that sea is what they're doing. It is our friends over at Home Title Lock. Look, your title, your home, is actually your most valuable asset. And the problem, of course, is in today's AI and cyber world, scammers are like, it's made it easier for them, honestly, to steal your home's title. And they want your equity. Criminals can forge your signature on a document. They can use a fake notary stamp. Probably get one on Amazon, honestly. And pay a small fee with your county. And then, ta-da, your home title right out of your name. That's theirs now. You're not even going to know what happened. In fact, you won't even know until you start getting foreclosure notices or you start getting past due collection calls or something. And then you have to hire a lawyer and endure a very, very expensive legal battle to prove that your home is still yours. And it's really hard to do and can take a long time. It is one of the fastest growing crimes, all more enabled by AI and the cyber world. You need to protect yourself. And this is where Home Title Lock comes in. Home Title Lock, they will monitor. They will do everything that they can. If you find out, like, you know, you go to their service and you find out your home's title's been stolen, you need to talk with HomeTitleLock.com. Use promo code Dana. Make sure your title is still in your name. That's the first step. Then you'll get a free title history report, plus a 14-day trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. So that's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud should happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Visit HomeTitleLock.com now and use promo code Dana.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Rodrigo Garcia?
I think you should f*** off.
I'm sorry, what, Congresswoman? Who should?
You.
Why me?
We're not taking any more questions right now, but here you go.
Yeah, thanks.
How classy. I mean, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but what gets me is, remember all the times if anyone is rude to a member of the press would freak out. If a Republican was rude to a member of the press freaks out. But on something like this, no. Even though Daily Caller is a legit entity, Daily Caller News Foundation particularly, there's no objections to this. They think it makes them look tougher because they can say curse words. You know, I mean, you can teach a parrot to say a curse word. I mean, I've watched the videos on Instagram, and in fact, those are the only videos now that Instagram shows me. It's not me. It's the system. It has a problem. But my point is that they love the sanctity of the press when it suits them. And they love asking questions when it suits them. If that had reversed the roles, what if that was a Republican lawmaker and it was a left-leaning reporter? And I don't even know the politics of that reporter. You might say, well, it's Daily Caller, so go figure it. But that Daily Caller doesn't necessarily hire conservatives. There have been a number of people that have worked there that are like on CNN and MSNBC now. They just hire people that want to get out the story more than they want to get out their name, right? Does that make sense? And so if this the roles had been reversed, can you imagine the reaction? These are the same people that are up in arms over some of the new media being invited to the White House press room, which I don't have a problem with. Just don't ask stupid questions. You know, ask something decent. But I don't know. Maybe there's problems at home with brother. I don't know. Maybe she's just having some brother problems, you know.
Have you been husband?
Yeah. I mean, can I ask a question? I mean, for real, I'm just curious. So when she married her brother, how did the family sit at the wedding? Like, how does that work? Because, you know, you got the bride's family on one side and the groom's family on the other side. But when you're siblings, how do you divide that up? And that's like not just for like, you know, Christian wedding ceremonies. I mean, there are other religious wedding ceremonies where they have seating like that. I'm just curious.
Based on religion, it's probably on the left side women, right side men.
Oh, you think that they just divided it by men and women?
Probably.
I mean, because they're all family, you know. Yeah. I mean, who pays for what then? If you're a sibling, like who pays for the reception?
USAID.
Oh, yeah. Maybe your campaign money. Because she did get in trouble for that at one point, probably. Using campaign money to spend. That's why she had to pay a big old fatty fat fine. You guys remember that? Yeah, I'm just saying. So, we got a number of things coming up, including the they call it the far right party. The EU is such scum. They're trying to identify. They're saying that the AfD, which is the right leaning party in Germany, it's extreme right. Of course. They try to act like everything is Hitler. That's the message that they're trying to send. So we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up because they're saying, oh, the AfD has been classified as extreme right. What does that mean? They don't want unfettered immigration. It's crazy, right? They don't want a bunch of people coming in illegally. It's so crazy. How does that make them extreme right? Also, I had a gross story 2 weeks ago. You guys might remember a guy who raped a corpse on the New York subway. Kane, if you had to guess whether or not this feller was in the country legally, what would your guess be? Not the corpse, but the guy who raped the corpse.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm. I would say that the person is probably not legal.
Ding, ding, ding. How many times not legal, though? We're going to talk about that coming up as well. And then we got another little leak, drip, drip, in the Abrego Garcia case. Stick with us. Hard work, self-reliance, showing up. That's what built this country. And it's exactly how our president leads. No excuses, no handouts, just results. But let's be honest, even the most dedicated Americans can't run on empty. Real sleep isn't a luxury. It's essential. And that's where Beam's Dream Powder comes in. It's proudly American-made, created by folks who believe in the same values that we do. Discipline, integrity, and doing what it takes to succeed. Dream is a clean, science-backed blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin, carefully formulated to help you fall asleep fast, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you're serious about showing up strong for your family, for work, and your country, then start with better sleep. So here's the deal. Beam is giving my listeners the ultimate Patriot discount of up to 40% off. Try their best-selling Dream Powder and get up to 40% off for a limited time. Just visit shopbeam.com/DanaShow and you can use code DanaShow at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/DanaShow and use code DanaShow for 40% off. Sleep better, wake up stronger, and show up ready for your family, your work, and your country. Because when you're well-rested, you're unstoppable.
Graduates of the Alabama class of 2025 standing here before you in this magnificent arena, it is clear to see the next chapter of the American story will not be written by the Harvard Crimson. It will be written by you, the Crimson Tide. That's true.
POTUS giving a commencement address at Bama. That's a very friendly venue down there, University of Alabama, Roll Tide. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. So heads up, major storms in Texas. And we got, I mean, it is thunder. It sounds like World War III outside right now. We already had our generator kick on. I warned y'all it's going to happen, right? Isn't that basically just because we lost power?
Yeah, I think one of our UPS systems is activated. So, okay. Yeah.
So there is a chance we could go dark. That's just on the camera. So if that happens, we're going to transition the program to goth talk, right? And we're going to have like flameless candles and it's going to be all dark and spooky and just, you know, just to go with the vibe. I feel like that's, you know, and you know, Kane, too. And I have more audio about from POTUS at Bama and I'll play it. But I really want to get to the story because it fits the like horror theme of the day with the storm outside and it's all dark and spooky. Like this story, for instance. Did you guys hear about the? I'm sure Democrats are going to be falling all over themselves to have margarita photo ops with this guy. So y'all remember the story. I'm not making this up. It is a real story. I tweeted it because someone's like, that's not real. It's totally real. And I don't mean to underemphasize the giant question mark of the corpse on the subway train, but it's a story about a corpse on the New York subway and an illegal immigrant who raped it. It was caught on their CCTV footage. Yeah, it was. And it's gross. It's super icky. Yeah, I get it. It's super ew. This guy, he raped this corpse on a Manhattan subway for 30 minutes, and it was all on CCTV. He is an illegal immigrant who has illegally entered the United States at least 5 times. Felix Rojas, he's 44. He crossed the U.S.-Mexico border on several occasions. He was caught by Border Patrol once, and then he was turned back another time, according to ICE. But he apparently crossed it one more time, and he has remained in the United States undetected until he met the dead body of 37-year-old family man Jorge Gonzalez, who had passed away suddenly on the R train. Apparently he was on there for a little bit. That corpse was on the New York subway for some time. Now, I agree with you. That by itself is its own issue. I don't know if you've ever ridden the New York subway. I mean, it's not like the stench would be immediately identifiable because it's pretty nasty. But apparently he was slumped on a train bench on April 8th. Surveillance footage first shows Rojas rifling through Gonzalez's pockets. He's robbing him. And then he comes back and you know what happened. I don't need to say anything else. Imagine Pulp Fiction, the basement scene. That's all you need to know. Bring out the gimp. So I wanted to let people know what happened in case there were some questions. And it unfolded over the course of over 30 minutes. Now, Gonzalez, they believe, passed away from natural causes. So Rojas faces charges of rape and grand larceny. And they finally did get him. And they're holding him without bail. And he has repeatedly crossed illegally into the United States. So now he's at Rikers. He's being held at Rikers. Sidebar, you know who else is being held at Rikers? Our good friend Carbon Mike. Dexter Taylor.
He's at Rikers? Really?
He's at Rikers, yeah. He's at Rikers with this guy because he was legally building his own firearm for his own personal enjoyment that he wasn't selling to anybody. Even though it's a federally protected thing, New York decided to change that law recently and not grandfather anything in and make a bunch of people felons and go out. And they just hate him because he's a black conservative firearm enthusiast. So they think that's as bad as this, apparently. I'm not even kidding you. How much you want to bet that this guy's going to get less of a sentence or less of a penalty than Dexter Taylor? I mean, I'd bet a lot of money on it if you're a betting type. So he's in Rikers. This, I mean, that's pretty stunning. And yeah, it's pretty stunning. I feel so bad for that guy's family because Gonzalez, I mean, Gonzalez is here legally. He came to this country legally. He's a family man, hardworking family man. Natural causes, it just happened, you know. And his family has to find out that after he passed, this is what happened to him. Happened to his body. So So POTUS, when he talks about the people who are repeatedly entering and committing crimes, this is who he's talking about. I mean, this is just, now, on top of this, there's an update on the Abrego Garcia case. You know, the Maryland man. Now there's footage. It is very much a drip drip, is it not? Very much a drip drip with this case. So there's body cam footage in Tennessee when they stopped him. It shows that troopers weren't able to do anything. This was during the 2022 encounter. And they had called ICE, Tennessee Highway Patrol. They pulled over Kilmar Abrego Garcia during this 2022 encounter. They didn't respond to go and get him, even though he didn't have any like identifying information. He wasn't here legally, et cetera, et cetera. And the footage, I mean, he's in, we told you about this. He's driving the vehicle that was registered to a known human trafficker, right? Known human trafficker. And he's in the car with a ton of other people. And they're asking him, like, okay, what's with all these people? And his story keeps changing, and they have the footage of it. And he was, he's 29, this was November 30th, 2022. Patrol stops him. It was a routine traffic stop. It was just like something routine that they stopped him for. And they were suspecting right off the start that this is an issue of human trafficking because it's a trafficking corridor. And you can hear in the officer's voice when they stop him and they ask him to show his license. And then the officer realizes that there are 8 people in the car, all dudes. And he goes, well, how many rows have you got in there? Oh, you got 4 seats. Listen to this audio soundbite 16. You can hear it that they realize something is up while they're talking to him. Listen.
How dark are your windows?
Huh?
How dark's the back windows?
Window?
Stand by. How dark are they?
The color.
Yeah.
From Texas, it's good.
How many rows have you got in here? 4?
Where?
4 seats? 4 rows of seats?
Yeah, it's three seats. Yeah, with it. Yeah.
Did y'all put an extra one in?
Huh?
Did y'all put another one in?
No.
Did it come like this?
Is the truck.
I've never seen one with that many seats in it.
Do you hear me? What do you say? He's my boss.
I said I've never seen one with that many seats.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why I was asking if you put an extra one in.
No, it's the same. I did.
Okay.
Who's the guy that's in the contract staying straight forward at his numbers?
You know what you got, right?
Huh?
You know what you got here, right?
No.
He's hauling these people for money is what he's doing, but sometimes they commingle dope.
No, but
there's 8 people in there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that. They put an extra roll of seats in there.
Yeah, so he's getting paid all these people, probably to Maryland, I would say.
Yeah. He said that, my boss is in Texas, and we're going to St. Louis, and then I'm going onward to continue working, is what he'd said. Now, none of the men had luggage, and all of their addresses were the exact same as Abrego Garcia's. And the troopers noted that he tried to pretend to know less and less English than he was capable of knowing. And in 2019, remember, that's when he had the deportation order, and there were 2 different judges that concluded, based on tons of evidence, yeah, he's affiliated with MS-13, to say nothing of the MS-13 branding that he had tattooed on his knuckles. Each of the symbols meant MS-13. That's what it means. And you can hear him. He's like, yeah, they were hauling these people for money. They were in possession of $1,400 in cash. He didn't have a valid license. And despite this, despite the fact that the car was registered to a known human trafficker, despite the fact that he had an expired license, they had to let him go. ICE would not, ICE, this is under Obama, Biden and Harris, remember. They notified ICE and ICE wouldn't come to pick him up. They couldn't, because Biden Harris. Remember this? That's how this happened. That's how this happened. He was a human trafficker and he was driving the vehicle of a known to the FBI, known to law enforcement in numerous states, a known human trafficker. And also this that trafficker who owned the vehicle was affiliated with MS-13. So they were still not able to take him in because Biden Harris, they allowed that. Remember, you have these edicts. We're not going to listen to these detainers. We're not going to follow through on this. Now, because they had to let him go, the left was like, well, see, that's proof of his innocence. So wait, you have the president at the time, Biden, who issues these edicts demanding that agencies and states not follow the immigration law and to refrain from enforcement. And as a result of that order, they can't enforce current law. And then you cite that as like proof of innocence. That's a nice little manufactured excuse, is it not? This is everything. And that's even after the judge. He had two court cases where they said, yes, he's MS-13. And then after that, he tried to petition for asylum again. He changed his story. And then they said, oh, well, you really... you're a flight risk. And then he's like, oh my gosh. So he married his baby mama to try to boost his claim. And that still didn't work. Just unbelievable. I don't even know what he's probably telling her and her family, because her family apparently, I think they're still in Mexico. And who knows what he's telling her and her family to get her to keep her mouth mostly shut. But this is just crazy. Crazy. And also, so that was... This was the year before was when he had the first petition for domestic violence filed on him. So all of that, and that would be on his record, but they can't do anything. No license. He already had a petition for PO on him. He's, you know, eight people that have no luggage. One of them can't speak. He just looked forward like a zombie. That's obviously shifty as all get out. And they couldn't do anything because it's the Biden administration. So this is stuff that they're dealing with. This is crazy. Absolutely insane. Coming up, Senate Democrats, they've decided, I think, on messaging going into midterms. Wait until you hear what they've decided to settle on. We're going to get into that and more as we move our partners that bring you the program, our friends over at Kel-Tec, a great company, great all-American company. They got the PR-57, the rotary barrel pistol, the lightest 5.7 on the market, 40% lighter than competition. It's perfect for concealed carry. You can actually really concealed carry this 5.7. It's awesome. Unique top loading design replaces the traditional magazines with stripper clips for a slimmer carry profile in a 20+1 capacity. MSRP is only $399. It's super sweet. This is one you absolutely have to have. And you know, Kel-Tec, it's all about made in America, family owned values at their best. These are American materials, American workers, American labor, American production, the whole nine yards. America needs more companies like Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. Innovation Performance Kel-Tec, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, today in Delco, which Steve gave us all a lesson on, you heard of Hawk Tua. Now meet Hawk Pua, a crazy woman. How do I put this? She literally did a do on the hood of a car during a little minor traffic fender bender.
A Mountain Dew?
Sure. Yeah, she Mountain Dewed all over the hood of that car.
What?
Now, that's gross, yes. And it's so, there's horrible video of it. And we're getting ready to show you because it's Friday, of course.
We're showing it?
Yeah, we're doing it. Why? We're doing it live. Doing it live, Kane. I'm just more impressed that she could do it on command like this than I am anything else. They arrested the woman. There's another video of her being arrested, but apparently it was in Delco, which Steve said is a very culturally significant part of Philly. And this woman, I guess she got rear-ended and then got out and rear-ended that car in a whole other way. She ended up being arrested. I think that I don't even know what kind of legal violation that is, but yeah, here she is getting arrested.
Chase you? I have a sickness.
Yeah, she does have a sickness. That's right, girl. You do got a sickness. That's exactly correct. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Also, a man is in critical condition after he plunged from the stands at a pirate game. What is happening?
21 feet.
What? Oh my gosh. How do you do that? How do you fall out of the stands? Well, that's what happened with this feller. They stopped the game in Pittsburgh. Players were obviously shocked. He's in critical condition, 20 feet. Fans and players alike were both horrified. He was taken to the hospital where he remains in critical condition. And they said it was a terrible accident. But man alive, that's just
a two-story drop.
Yeah, that's a major drop. A British woman, 115 years old, named the world's oldest person. 115. She was born in 1909. And she takes the record after a Brazilian nun. I don't know what her secret is. I bet it's like whiskey and something. That's usually what they say. It's funny. Let's see. Apparently Hillary Baldwin. I don't care. Are they going to get divorced? I don't care. Nobody cares about that fake Spanish tart. Nobody cares about her and her murdering husband. I know. How do you say a cucumber? Me, me, burp. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
And she's going to do it. Mom, I love you. I'm going to do it for you, Mom. And she goes, and she lives, and she gets it. And Mom, I'm going to do it, Mom. Can't do it.
I think it's funny. He had a teleprompter, but he likes to go off it a lot. I mean, he talked about that yesterday. You can have more fun. Audio soundbite two. I think it's just funny that he had to explain this. Listen.
Funny. That's not here. That's not here on the actually, most of what I've said tonight is not on the teleprompter. That's all right. Isn't it nice to have a president that doesn't need a teleprompter and can sort of have a little fun.
There you go. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this second hour. And he was making a joke about the trans stuff a little earlier, because you've had Maine that keeps pushing back against that. And it's pretty amazing that it's still, I don't know, that they're still trying to fight that when clearly they didn't get the message from the voters. I don't know if you, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I don't know if you saw this. I don't like New York Magazine. I think they're trash. I've never liked New York Magazine. I once argued with them or whoever ran their New York Magazine account at one point. I always think it's funny when like an actual newspaper tries to argue with someone like using the newspaper account. But I can't remember what they got mad at me about, but they got mad at me for something. Anyway, they wrote a hit piece on John Fetterman. Now, normally I would say, oh, well, I don't really care about a Democrat, but he's like a Democrat that's not stupid, right? He's like common sense to the point where he's got the hoodie pass, right? He can wear his Umbros in his hoodie. Yeah. I'm okay. I like how he trolls the anti-Semites. It's funny. Yeah. But they did this hit piece on him. And I got some, I think it's in such bad taste that they did this. It's called John Fetterman's Struggle, and they're kind of hitting him on that point. They're saying that, oh, he's He's in good health, but staffers past and present say they no longer recognize the man they once knew. Because he's starting to be what? More conservative? Are you kidding me? I mean, he had a stroke and became smarter. I don't know. But so they're hitting him because of that. Now, can I read this? I'm going to read this short paragraph, and I want you to tell me what you think of the origin, or speculate as to the origin of this hit piece. Ready? All right, here's what they say. Quote, later, a still visibly upset Giselle, that's his wife, pulled the staffer aside. She asked him if members of Fetterman's team were pushing him to take these stances for political reasons. The staffer told her that the opposite was true. Many of them were as upset as she was. Quote, if you're pushing back on this, there's no hope, the staffer recalled her saying. This is horrible news. A few days later, Giselle texted a different staffer, quote, I'm at my breaking point and I can't co-sign this any longer. I'd love some help in language to separate myself from this. Can anyone help me? End quote. This does not sound real. I don't want it to be real, because if it was real, that would mean that she's a traitorous tart and that she is undermining her husband, because she is putting her self-absorbed, navel-gazing viewpoints ahead of his work and his purpose in serving taxpayers. Now, I'm not saying it's real. I'm just saying that would be the case if it was real. Do you think it's real, Kane?
On the surface, no, it doesn't sound real.
Is it like a... now,
did they name the source, by the way? They said they got it from a staffer, or that they were whoever they had their source is. Whoever it is, did the source give their name? Because this is a litmus test that most people should be thinking about when hearing stories like this. And they talk about unnamed sources, and sources say, but if they don't name who those sources are, it's literally, typically, hit pieces.
Well, and I think, too, remember when he was running against Dr. Oz, and I was not a fan of Dr. Oz because he's a big gun control guy, like a big-time gun control guy, not a little time, like a big, major gun control proponent. And that was my reason why I didn't like him. But during that time when they were running against each other, everyone was saying, Fetterman's totally fine. How dare you question his mental acuity? He's recovering from a stroke. You're so ignorant to stroke victims, all this stuff.
It's true.
So did that change? I mean, he still had a stroke and he recovered from a stroke and he's still a stroke victim. But because has that changed because they don't like what he's saying right now?
It's different.
I mean, he supports Israel against Hamas. So that means that they're trying to spread doubt about his mental fitness. That's so shady. And I hope that they're not trying to use his wife to do it. And I hope it's not his wife doing it. I hope it's not a staffer. It sounds like it's a staffer. But they're trying to get you to believe that he's somehow impaired cognitively. Mm-hmm. Based on what? If they're trying to argue that support of Israel over Hamas is indicative of cognitive impairment, you might be an anti-Semite. Just saying.
Well, we talked about this before, how the Democrats are so Borg-like in their thinking that anybody that skirts even a little bit, like Fetterman, right, this is what happens to them.
Exactly. Because he's come a really long way. And you can tell, like, he works a normal Capitol Hill schedule now. He keeps normal hours. He didn't at first when he came back. And you could even hear in his interviews, he had the ideas in his head, but he was struggling to articulate them and verbalize it. And now he's really good. I mean, you can see that there's still some thing, not anything huge, but he's worked really, really hard. And Fetterman sat down for an interview with Joe Rogan, and I don't even think he uses captioning devices all the time like he used to. I think he's even like weaned off of that. These are the same people that defended Joe Biden when Joe Biden didn't even know where the hell he was. Oh, he's cognitively fine. But now they're going after John Fetterman. John Fetterman knows where he is. He can do his job. But because he isn't crazy like the rest of them are, suddenly he's persona non grata. They were the ones who set that up, by the way. I had a friend of mine who said this is like what they did to Dianne Feinstein in 28. because Dianne Feinstein, they didn't think during the whole confirmation process for Brett Kavanaugh, if you remember, Dianne Feinstein was getting a lot of heat because she wasn't as hardcore on him, and she could have done more with the Christine Blasey Ford stuff. Like when they went back and they started doing the post-mortem, they tried to throw her under the bus for it. Now it's like they're trying to do this. Now they're, here you got the New Yorker. Oh, it looks like he's got a decline in his cognitive ability. Actually, it looks like he's gotten stronger. He seems more cognitively aware than most of the Democrats in Congress. I mean, if you hear Hank Johnson talk, I mean, my gosh, I question his cognitive ability just hearing him talk. Are we sure Hank Johnson hasn't had a stroke? For crying out loud, most of these people do math like unrecovered stroke victims. So they're just getting mad at Fetterman. But to sit here and act like, oh, well, his support of Israel is mean. This is crazy. Yeah, and as Steve notes, now they want to question cognitive ability. Oh, now they want to do it. It's insane. I didn't pay to read the article. It's behind a paywall. I went to removepaywall.com, by the way, and that's how I was able to strip all that out. And if that doesn't work, go to the Wayback Machine. Because they usually do a snapshot of it on paywalled, and then you can read it there. Yeah, I don't like giving crap media any money. I don't give any money. It's an undocumented access is what it is, Kane. Undocumented access. Yeah, I'm just accessing. I have undocumented access to their publication.
Sounds like a humane way to handle
exactly, it. Exactly. Yeah, for the people, right? That's exactly what it is. Speaking of all of that, Law and Order. We're going to talk about this coming up. I hate musicals, right? Golly, I hate musicals. My mom took me to Cats when I was like 13 years old and it ruined me for life. I have no idea what that was about. I told you this before, I think. It just is like a bunch of furries and they sang some song about memories. And that's all, I think, all I remember.
I thought it was about cats. It's not.
I really don't know. It was weird. And to this day, I have no idea what happened. And I just don't get it. And it made me hate musicals forever. She made me go see Wicked one time. I wanted to die. I wanted to launch myself off the balcony. I wanted to yeet myself into the floor below. I just didn't care. I'm not into musicals. I'm not into all that stuff. And now you have a musical where they want to celebrate. I'm not making this up. This is New York Post. Luigi Mangione. They want to do a musical about him. That's kind of a pretty short musical, isn't it? I mean, he ran up and shot a dude in the back and ran away. I mean, what is there? Is it going to be a song and dance? Is he going to be like, woo, with a gun and woo, going up there to shoot this dude? I mean, how does that work? It's called Luigi the Musical. Now, at first glance, I'm not going to lie. I thought this was like a Super Mario Brothers thing. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's this guy. He's like ruining that name, right? And it's going to debut in June. And they say they're going to be bold and unafraid about what he did to leave two kids without a dad. Now, the opening night is already sold out. What does that say about how stupid people are? The opening night is already sold out.
Do we even know who the cast is?
I don't think so. I mean, there's some names I don't know. Some, like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know who the theater kids are. I don't pay attention to that.
I mean, to stay true to what the left has been doing with entertainment, they should probably find a black female to play that Luigi lead.
Why do they do this? Like, I'm just waiting for the musical about Diddy. The Diddler. The story of Sean Diddy Combs, right? I'm just waiting for that. Is he going to make an appearance in it? Is he going to, like, come out with a dancing part? Who's going to play Diddy? They should get to make it like truly Netflix. They should probably have like a blonde woman play him. what in the world? So they said that it's going to be surprisingly thoughtful and funny and blah 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 and show tunes and you know this is and they said Luigi is your new favorite felony.
What?
That's the tagline. As if you didn't hate musicals enough.
Felony or felon?
Felony. They said the songwriter, Ariel Johnson, and the director, Nova Bradford, said they drew inspiration from Chicago, the musical. And they had a snippet that they had behind the scenes footage that they posted. And this song is horrible. One of the lines was, I'm not kidding you, this is a line. Flash those pearly whites. There were cameras there that night. And that's what let the police take me in. The guy named Johnny Stein is apparently playing Luigi Mangione. And that's a reference to him pulling down his balaclava to smile at the New York youth hostel clerk. And that's how they were able to get a good look at him. This sounds like the dumbest. This sounds like a high school musical project. I mean, as if you didn't have enough reasons to hate musicals. Jazz, hand it up.
There's nothing about the story to glorify.
I mean,
there's nothing about the story to glorify. No matter what position you're on, there's nothing to glorify other than murder. Is that what people are doing?
Apparently. I mean, the left loves their murderers. I don't know what to say. I mean, they literally had Earth Day earlier about a dude who composted his girlfriend. He loved the Earth so much he murked his girlfriend, chopped her up. Composted. He was just composting her for the planet, you know. You can justify anything if you, you know, pay tribute to one of their stations. That's all you got to do. Hard work, self-reliance, showing up. That's what built this country. And it's exactly how our president leads. No excuses, no handouts, just results. But let's be honest, even the most dedicated Americans can't run on empty. Real sleep isn't a luxury. It's essential. And that's where Beam's Dream Powder comes in. It's proudly American-made, created by folks who believe in the same values that we do. Discipline, integrity, and doing what it takes to succeed. Dream is a clean, science-backed blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin, carefully formulated to help you fall asleep fast, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you're serious about showing up strong for your family, for work, and your country, then start with better sleep. So here's the deal. Beam is giving my listeners the ultimate Patriot discount of up to 40% off. Try their best-selling Dream Powder and get up to 40% off for a limited time. Just visit shopbeam.com/DanaShow and you can use code DanaShow at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/DanaShow and use code DanaShow for 40% off. Sleep better, wake up stronger, and show up ready for your family, your work, and your country. Because when you're well-rested, you're unstoppable.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm trying to make this one make sense. So this was in Port Charlotte. A Florida man, now let's just listen to this one sentence. Listen to this first sentence. The Florida man known to throw cans of food and other items around a Florida neighborhood, as one would do, and at others, was arrested after a neighbor said he threw canned corn through her window and broke it, per the arrest affidavit. This happened on April 25th. A woman called Charlotte County Sheriff's Office to report vandalism. She said she was outside. She heard the sound of glass breaking. She turned around to find one of her neighbors, 38-year-old Earls Ernest Santville, running from another neighbor's front yard back towards his home. The left front rent window was found broken at the top, like somebody threw something through the glass. The witness got a key from another neighbor in the neighborhood who watches the owner's house when she's away, went into the home to see what happened, and that's when they found a can of Del Monte corn inside. The guy apparently is literally known in the area. He goes to the food banks, gets food, and then goes and throws it around at people and cars and houses.
Because they need food?
He has also thrown bottles of urine and chunks of raw meat. Oh.
Not good.
Yeah, so they're pressing charges because they go, he's always just throwing things at people. So why is he like not, how long has this been going on? Apparently a really long time. So now they're actually going to finally do something and press charges against this guy. I mean, that's kind of crazy that it goes on that long. Come on. A Florida man frustrated with the McDonald's drive-thru just tried stealing the cash register. Okay, well, there's other things you can do to express your discontentment. But this one, Cape Coral, the guy tried to steal a cash drawer at the McD's because he was frustrated in the drive-thru. It was 4 a.m. Police responded to a robbery in progress, and they said he got into an argument with an employee, tried stealing the register, and took off in his car. They caught up with him. He was taken into custody. They also put his photo all over social media. Like, what? Like, control thyself. Florida man was arrested for having three wives in three different counties. Yeah, that is not an okay thing to do, feller. They say the women said that there weren't adequate safeguards to prevent it. I don't know, maybe being a little bit curious about what the hell he's doing when he's not with you. That's probably one safeguard, you know, just like your woman's innate suspicion. Do you really need the government to go, well, since you broads are too stupid to realize that he's got three wives and three counties, we're going to have to expand ourselves and make a law? Come on now. They're saying there's no safeguards. He took each one of us to a county to get married, said one of the wives. How does that happen? How does something like that happen? He married apparently one of them within the same year, or two of them in the same year, and in 2022. And I just, how would you not know? They met him on a dating app. And I just don't understand how you wouldn't know. He was arrested for felony bigamy. And after the first wife figured out that there were two others. That's kind of... Let's see, birthday suit bandit, naked Florida man caught trying to break into a lady's home. Oh. And then I got another story. I'll save this for you for Monday. But a Florida man is accused of touching realtor's feet during open house showings. That's nasty. Go be nasty and a freak elsewhere. Ugh. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you the program, our friends over at Super Beats. You guys are familiar with the Super Beats, folks. The Super Beats hard chews. Well, now they have the Super Barine, and it's available at the Sam's Club. And your metabolism affects everything. You can support it with Super Barine. It's $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. It's just $24.98. It's plant-based, doctor-formulated. It has a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extracts. You get additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support. It's a unique berberine. They've clinically studied it, and it delivers nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. So that means you only have to take one capsule a day. It's highly concentrated, easy to swallow. And if you're worried about GI distress, it includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. Visit Sam's Club to restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with the new Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. And don't forget, Super Barine is $5 off at Sam's Club through April 29th. Snag this offer at Sam's Club while it lasts. Start today and get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
So, the president signed an executive order just this week threatening to defund sanctuary cities for their policies. Why not just arrest the leaders who are harboring and shielding illegal aliens, actually terrorists, from deportation?
Wait to see what's coming.
Yeah, wait to see what's coming. I like Tom Holman. I wish he was like my uncle or something, or we were like related somehow. He reminds me of my one of my late grandpas. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. Channel 347 is the stream, and X and YouTube, the chats at Rumble, all good things. Yeah, I Democrats are going to fight all this tooth and nail. So far, it seems like we're getting a really good handle on the border and deportations. A lot of that is down to, you know, good Republican governors and some really good AGs in a number of different states. Doesn't help that you got Democrats out there defending everybody from the dude who's in the El Salvadoran prison. And then the other guy who raped a corpse on the subway. They're going to be falling over trying to get margarita photos with that guy. It's about as dumb as this quote from Tim Walz's daughter. Oh, boy. So the daughter of the Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is on TikTok. And I don't even know there's a running influencer. I hate the word influencer. They're just people online. So there's this lady that runs. Her name is Kate Max. I know nothing about her. I used to run the mile and 2 mile when I was like in high school and college, and I have not ran for fun. I would only run if I'm like running from a killer. That's the only way I'm going to be running anymore. I hate cardio. I just like heavy weights. Cardio is what you do in between sets. That's resting in between sets and getting your heart rate back at an optimal level. So I didn't even know there was this running influencer, and they're mad. People are mad at her because she was at the White House and she did like a short interview with the White House press secretary. So what this lady does is she does interviews with famous people and then runs while they do them. She did one with Tim Walz before. But people are mad at her because she featured Caroline Leavitt in one. And I guess that, and people were saying, that's disappointing. We can't even believe that you did this. And it's so horrible. And why are you platforming this? And they were just going on and on and on. And it was kind of wild to see this because she's interviewed, from what I understand, I had to look into it. She's interviewed Tim Walz, a number of Democrats, Hollywood celebrities, like actors in that. But nobody objected until she featured Caroline Leavitt, right? So Tim Walz's daughter blasted her for platforming Leavitt. And in her video, she said she was disappointed and that because the administration's keeping people away from joining the running community by not combating climate change and cutting social funds, federal social funds. This is what her quote is. Oh my gosh, should we just play it? I mean, this woman is she's not the brightest tool or brightest bulb in the box. But she had said that you're sending people away without due process, villainizing minorities. I don't know what she's talking about. And she said, you're preventing people from getting into the running community. Like, what the hell does that even mean? No one's preventing it, you stupid half-brained snowflake. No one's preventing it. So because she talked to Caroline Leavitt, that's like somehow magically, physically stopping people from going to run. What a stupid remark. And she said, it's damaging to society. We shouldn't normalize these people. Oh, heaven forbid you act like a grown-up and talk to people whose opinions you don't share. If you are so scared of your inability and intellectual vapidness that prevent you from articulating a defense of your ideals, then that's on you, not on anyone else. Listen to this. This is so stupid.
To be in a good mental state, to be able to run. All of those things are hard to come by. And if you have them and are a part of the running community, that is a privilege. And that, again, was the first thing he taught me. So I don't really understand how platforming an administration that cuts mental health services, cuts, you know, funding and literal shipments to food banks is entirely hurting the climate. Because you can get into running in the climate. That's a whole nother thing. But it's cutting, you know, funds to climate initiatives and actively hurting the planet in that way. Sending people away without due process, villainizing minorities. All of those things are preventing people from getting into the running community, which is what I thought Kate's platform was for. But it's also just damaging to society as a whole. We should not be normalizing these people. I'm not going to tell anyone what to do with their page, but I think it's insulting to my dad to leave a certain video pinned.
Oh, shut up, you stupid half-witted nepo baby. I'm so, this like girl clearly has been told that she's special when she's not. First off, can you stop saying stupid things like the running community? That sounds so stupid. You sound like a snotty, entitled trust fund brat when you say the running community. You're just a runner. Shut up. You're just a runner. The running community. You don't have to sit here and create a construct that you can appoint yourself as gatekeeper of. That's why they use those phrases, because they want to gatekeep people from participating in it. So you're just a runner. There's no like running community. Shut up. It's so stupid. And her platform is that this chick can do whatever she wants with her platform. This Kate Max or whatever her name is. She can do whatever she wants. She's interviewed Democrats and Republicans. I think it's hateful and bigoted for her to say that you can't platform people that don't share your viewpoints. That's a signal of weakness. You're signaling absolute weakness. You want to be accommodated and you demand a seat at the table. But by God, you don't want anybody else that you don't agree with to have a seat at the table. It's not because you object to their ideas. It's because you're too stupid to articulate an actual educated defense of your own ideas. That's the first thing I think. Actually, that's really what it is. It's not what I think. That's what it is. When they want to silence you, it's because they are too afraid. And this has been, gosh, I've seen this from big companies. I've seen this. When they want to silence you, it's because they're afraid of you. That's what it is. They're afraid of you. And they're not smart enough to articulate a defense of their own perspectives. It's pretty unbelievable. And I just, this stuff that she's like, what is it, climate running? What the hell is that? It's just called weather. You don't, people have too much time on their hands. They create these super complicated issues where you don't have to have complicated issues. Like, this doesn't make sense. Did no one told her she can't run? I mean, no one went out there and told his daughter, you can't run. running community. I don't even know what this means, but it sounds like peak privilege is what it sounds like. It sounds like peak privilege, but the whole thing, we should not be normalizing these people, is bigoted and it's hateful. Running as an act is political, is what she said. I mean, it's an exercise. Shut up. And she says that apparently, I guess what it's privileged, you're privileged to have the time to run, access to funds to buy the gear. Okay, hold up. I was a runner, like varsity. I set records. What gear do you need? I think she's a fake runner. If you're talking about needing gear, you need a pair of tennis shoes. That's it. What are you talking about, gear? Stop acting like a gatekeeper for something that anybody can do. There's no community for you to protect. But this is how they try to grift power, by creating these little constructs to which they appoint themselves gatekeeper. Then that gives them some kind of a power and authority. Like, it's not privileged to run. You just run. I could go out and run right now. Kane was telling me about a stunt that they used to do back in his early days in radio, when they would have chicks run in high heels. Anybody can run. I mean, it's very simple. So I don't know what she's talking about here. I don't want this family plaguing us for the rest of our lives. I'm so glad that they lost. Can you imagine this chick? She would be all over the place elevating herself as like some sort of White House influencer. Gag me. Ugh, just done with it. Now, the Tesla vandalism is still ongoing. Oh yeah, they're still burning down the Teslas. They're still very upset about the Teslas. I was reading this story about how a guy in Arizona is facing federal charges because he will not stop setting fire to things. They arrested a guy. It was an arson attack that was on a just like brand new, just delivered Cybertruck. Can you imagine? You just get a brand new car and some moron sets it on fire because they don't like the fact that they don't like the car that you're driving. Again, even though the left was telling everybody to go out and get these cars for forever. And then they wrote the word thief on the side of a nearby building. And this was in, Arizona.
They're helping.
Huh?
They're helping.
They're helping. That's right. Yeah, they wrote thief on the side of the building. They misspelled it too, which was great. They literally couldn't spell thief. They spray painted T-H-E-I-F on the side of the building. Thief. Look, I spelled it. They're not the sharpest folks. They're not the sharpest folks. So the guy, Ian Moses, is the guy who's being accused. He apparently torched the Cybertruck and then misspelled the word thief on the side of the building. He's charged with 5 counts. I mean, if you're gonna carry out domestic terrorism, spell your stuff right, right? Spell your messages right. This is the least he can do. He's charged with 5 counts of malicious damage to property. If he's convicted, he could get, at minimum, 5 years for each count. I hope he does. They need to throw the book at this dude. He's the 7th person now facing charges, federal charges, for vandalizing Teslas in politically motivated domestic terrorism. The 6th person, they charged this guy. He's a 19-year-old Kansas City college student, Owen McIntyre. And he was in Kansas City. He's the guy who threw a Molotov cocktail at a Cybertruck and lit it on fire. And then it burned the whole damn lot. And it required, like, the KC Fire Department and others to respond. And, I mean, I can't even... They had 2 charging stations that were burnt. All the Cybertrucks were burnt. That guy's got some charges coming in him as well. They need to throw the book at these people. This is not acceptable. This is what Democrats incite. You haven't seen a single Democrat go out and condemn any of this stuff or try to quell it at all. In fact, they just want to inflame it further. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings. Just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with Gold Co. because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, Gold Co. is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with Gold Co. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A woman traveling solo makes a terrifying discovery under her hotel bed after noticing a weird smell. This was in Britain. And a woman from Britain. She thought Japan was a very safe country. Somehow, in her Japanese hotel room, a dude was able to get under her bed. And they found a power bank and a USB cable under the bed. They did not give her any compensation after the experience. She said the hotel was legit. She's like, you know, I went in, got into my room as usual, laid down on the bed, and I noticed a weird smell, and I thought it was coming from the sheets, and I realized it was under the bed. And when she said, I leaned over to check, and I saw a pair of eyes staring at me, a literal man under my bed. And there's CCTV. There wasn't any CCTV in the building. But she said she moved to a new hotel that same night, but she was constantly on edge. I've had it happen before where I was staying in a hotel room. And thankfully I always travel with Chris because the left and the woke right love to make up stories. And somebody walked into our room in the middle of the night, like was able to walk right into our room in the middle of the night. And then they realized the mistake and they were like, oh, and they left because we were about ready to murder them. So yeah, they were about to get murked. So it's great. You just gotta be careful with that stuff. It was the one time I was too tired that I didn't. I always take great precautions and I block the door and I do crazy stuff. A copy of a Jumanji book got returned to a New Jersey school library 43 years overdue, and they left a $40 money order. So it's like less than a dollar per year. Oh, well, at least they returned it, right? I mean, a community is in disbelief after a 7-year-old's joyride ends on their street. This is wild. It's in Utah. A 7-year-old boy with his little sister drove his mom's car through several towns. He could barely see over the steering wheel. They don't know how he made the 10-mile trip. And then he took off and it ended in their community at 8 a.m. on Sunday. Police kept getting a call about reckless drivers. People just all along the path kept calling the police. They said the car wasn't in its lane. The driver appeared to be super young, like a little kid. And they found the boy and his younger sister were both behind the wheel. Jeez, I can't even imagine. They tried to pull him over, but he wouldn't stop. So they didn't chase him out of safety concerns. They later found the car 3 miles down the road. It hit a parking strip and was disabled. So they wrecked it. The kids are okay. No injuries were reported, but how do you not know your kid's gone and driving your car through multiple towns? It's kind of scary. Let's see. I'm going to pull this one up. This is in the Carolinas, Fox Carolina. A robot calf confronting shoppers downtown. It's like a PETA thing. I think PETA, if they really cared about animals, then you wouldn't like try to aggrieve people with the advocacy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe in animal testing, and I avoid makeup products that do it and all kinds of stuff. But it's like, also, I don't think you should be getting people's faces and doing this stuff. Because if it's about the animals, then shouldn't you be a little bit more... I don't know, like you should be trying to persuade people. Sugar gets you more than vinegar. But they said that it's a robot calf and it goes up to people going, are you wearing my mother? I would be like, you look like a good chop. No, okay. We got more on the way, including some culture stuff. I got a friend who's doing a comic book. He's going to join us next. I'm always going to tell people to carry. I'm always going to tell you to carry lead. And I have zero issues at all whatsoever using lethal force to smack down a threat to me or my family. But I understand also that not everyone wants you to be safe. The people who pass these gun-free zones and gun control, they don't care if you're a statistic. They don't care about your family. They don't care if you live or die. They just want a virtue signal about this stuff. So this is where Burn a Gun comes in, because they understand certain places are disarming you legit. And, you know, we're big kids. I would love to be able to pick and choose exactly where I go all the time, but I can't. So as a result, you know, a lot of my friends have gone out and gotten the Burn a Gun, right? You always, it's good to have a diversified weapons array. You have blades, you have different calibers. With something like this, when you are disarmed and you're not able to carry in certain spaces, this comes in clutch. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And instead of like one or two rounds, like a traditional taser or something, this is five rounds. They have several different models, the CL, which we'll be talking about soon, but the SD, I have a lot of friends that have gone out and gotten the SD. They have rifles in that, but I think, you know, for this purpose, this is, you know, the SD is what you need to get, and that's what I would recommend. There's no recoil at all whatsoever, and there's no background check. This thing doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. It's legal in all 50 states. No background checks, no permits. It can be no waiting period, shipped right to your door, so it's accessible for everybody. Visit Byrna.com/Dana to get 10% off. BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit of cracker, not like the white person or the food, just like the band. Welcome back. Dana Lash here. We're at the bottom of this third hour. We made it to Friday. Yay! It's good to be with you. Coast to coast, you can listen terrestrially. One of our hundreds of markets. You can also watch the stream. Channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on X. Rumble's where the chat is. YouTube, all that good stuff. So I feel like we're always so critical of culture here in this space. And for good reason, because it sucks. So much of it is just heinous. Like so much art and so much music and everything. I feel like I sound like a boomer almost because we are just so hypercritical of it, but it is trash. And one of my biggest criticisms of the right is that they don't encourage actual good stuff that's not like politically driven. The stuff that I see promoted is politics first and then artistic consideration second. And I always have a huge issue with that because it should be about, you know, the expression first and making something that's really cool and is, you know, pretty or whatever. And then if you want to, you know, if it has a political point, then fine. But don't make that be, you know, the vehicle for the art. It's backwards. One of my friends who is a great illustrator, I think that's the preferred term, has been doing all kinds of, you know, comics, and he has a podcast, and I've known him for a really long time. In fact, our first meeting was hysterical. But you can find him on X at Salty Draws. He is a writer, creator. His pronouns are Lord and King, and he has a comic book series. It's actually really cool. It's about the teenage Ben Franklin, who is caught in this virtual world that is regulated by AI, which is weird because when he started this, I kind of wonder if he knew we were going to be here all these years later. I mean, we're almost there. Sean Salter now joins us. You can find him at Salty Draws on X. Good to see you, my friend. Okay, so every time you join me, your office gets like your studio gets bougier and bougier in the background. Yeah. I gotta point that out.
Well, because I'm just going along with my pronouns, King and Lord.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
that's right.
Respect them.
I have the comic here, by the way, and you've got this nice shiny foil on the top. This thing is thick as all get out too. And this is like beautifully illustrated. It's Silence Duguid, Ben Franklin, time travel agent. I want to get into all of this, but because you were in Hollywood for a really long time. I want to give people a background on you. You were in Hollywood for a long time. You worked for big studios. You worked on all kinds of very commercial things that people have seen on television and theaters. And you got red-pilled. Although I think you always were kind of...
Born and raised.
Yeah, red-pilled. But you weren't public about it because you couldn't be.
No.
What would have happened if you would have been like if you would have been vocal about it then?
Well, what would have happened is what happened to us right before I ended up leaving Hollywood, which was we had sold, me and my writing partner had sold a show to a major Hollywood studio, and we were developing that in Hollywood. It was an animated series. You're familiar with that one, but we can't talk about NDAs. And when they found out we were conservative Christian, straight white males, well, they knew we were straight white males, but, you know, when they found out the conservative Christian part, it was phone call. We're not going to do this show.
Just like so, that. As easy as that.
Just like that.
That's
and when you're
crazy.
Nobody, you don't have an established name, it's really easy to do to you. And so it was time at that time, at that moment, I knew it was time to leave.
Yeah. And then you went to beautiful Tennessee. I can say that. Well, you talk about it. I mean, it's I'm not going to say where you are, but it's like you live out in nature. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I live in the forest. And so it's hard to get to where we're at. And if you're here, it's not a good idea.
Right. That's right. And it's so much better now. Do you feel like you're able to be... I mean, is it? In some respects, I would imagine it's harder because it's an important point that I think you made. If you don't have that name recognition, I think even if you do have the name recognition,
yeah.
I don't even think that you can be exactly free with your ideological beliefs that they if they fall out of line with what you know the upper echelon in Hollywood dictates.
Well, look what happened to Gina Carano, and then that happens to so many people. They just what happens is the phone stops ringing. The call you stop getting the job, you stop getting any interest around you, and it has to. They'll say things like, "Oh, you're difficult to work with," or you know, you had an ad. There was another problem. They'll make something up because they don't want to be seen as bigoted. But really, at the end of the day, it's just because they're fascists.
Yeah. I mean, that's everything that they've come out with has been garbage. I rarely go see movies anymore.
Yeah, we don't go at all.
Wolverine
was funny.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that in the theater. I was trying to think the last thing I saw in the theater, and I can't remember. The first time I went back to the theater after a really long time was Top Gun. I did see John Wick. I did see but
yeah, that was a good one.
I really haven't gone because there's not a lot. It's all like repurposed, rehashed, reimagined. It's the same story that they make duller and duller with every iteration. And there's not a lot of originality out there.
There's not a lot of originality. I think they do the reboots because the stuff that is original is so just twisted and just full of their nonsense that does not relate to the regular American. Mm. That they're like, well, what about this? And then they shove their stuff in it still. And it's just like, you made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, I'm going to get into the comics because you do, this is a great series that you've been working on for a long time. But have you been, you were born really conservative. Like, how would you say, like a Reagan conservative? Like, how did you, what was your belief set? Like, how would you describe it if you had to package it?
When I was younger, I was Alex P. Keaton. I mean, I would debate my father over Richard Nixon being a great president. As I got older, I became a little bit more, you know, into my 20s, I became libertarian. And then when I got older and wiser, I realized I don't like anyone and you've all gotten it wrong. The founders had it right. Let's go back to that. So
exactly.
Constitutional conservative.
Yeah, I think that's right. I like that. Like constitutionalist. Yeah. I think there's something as you get older, you realize I just want to be left alone more and more.
Yeah.
I'm tired of everybody's garbage.
I'm done with the Democrats. Always never voted for a Democrat in my life, but the Republicans get on my last nerve. I just happen to, you know, it's like the party of stupid or the party of evil. And it's like, I'll go with the stupid.
Well, they're not
again.
Conservative enough. They're I'll go with the dumb people, I guess. But they're not. They're not. I mean, we tend to vote for them as a strategy to kind of get closer to what we want, but they're not constitutionalists.
Yeah. Have to, because I mean, what's the alternative? A dystopian future where, you know, it's not even communism, it's neo-feudalism.
Yeah.
You have no rights and you're a serf. I mean, let's be honest, income tax is slavery. We need to get rid of that. We're serfs, we're slaves, and we need liberty. What this book is about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you made an important point too about, because we kind of agree on this, although I think people don't understand the nuance about voting. Because, like, just to throw this out there, you throw this out there, you immediately see the difference between who is a constitutionalist and who isn't, because it's not a right. Voting isn't a right. It's relegated. It's to the states to administer. So it's something that it's a privilege that the states administer, but it's not a right. And people freak out when you say this.
Yeah. Well, I say it's an earned responsibility. It's not even you have to earn that. And that's what the states used to determine who was responsible enough to have a say over how society governs itself. You cannot let people that are on the take, that are on the dole, that are essentially parasites. And I lump politicians in with that. You can't let them have a say. You know, those that are actually putting in the blood, the sweat and the tears, those that have skin in the game, they have the privilege or the responsibility to govern the rest of us. We were founded as a republic, and we need to get back to that, because the longer we stay a democracy, the more our rights are in jeopardy by the mob.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I like this series too, because you explore, how do I put it? You explore these ideals without it being overbearingly political, if that makes sense. Like, I don't feel like I'm reading a political missive that is politics first. And then, like, you know, the really cool artwork and coloring and the panels and the characters, that's like a second consideration. Is that, and I feel like a lot of people on the right struggle with that. I mean, clearly you don't. because you get the concept of it. But talk a little bit about that, because this is what, so for the people who don't know, Ben Franklin is Silence Do Good. This is his series, and this is the latest. I mean, it's like really pretty. I mean, it's a great read. And if you like comics, I like manga and I watch anime and all that stuff. And I love this series, but it's, I love the way that you approach it. And tell me a little bit about it, because I think this is something that, you know, people obviously should check out, but I like that it's just originality forward, for the lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah. Well, the idea really started as just me thinking, like, what would our founding fathers think of if they saw the America we've built? And it kind of, you know, snowballed from there. I love time travel. Big fan of Doctor Who. You know, I loved.
I could not
see
tell.
Them in the back. Right there. So obviously time travel was how I wanted to do it. I wanted to treat American history as kind of a backdrop. I didn't want to change history. I wanted to keep it like, oh, this was what happened.
Right.
How are we going to do that? And so it just problem after problem, and you just solve the problems. And one of the ways we solved it was, what if we had Ben Franklin, who was a scientist, an inventor, he was like the Renaissance man of the age. He seemed like the perfect person for this. And he's my favorite founding father. Just one of the most interesting guys ever.
He was very interesting.
What if he's a teenager?
His air baths. This is my favorite story about him.
Yeah, one of his inventions was just sitting around in the nude, air bath. But yeah, so it was like, take a teenage Ben Franklin. So it's more of a coming of age. So he has the principles of the Enlightenment era, but he's also going to be maybe more wrestling and questioning and doubting, but also rebellious, a little bit more rebellious than he would be as an adult. And what would that be like? Because Ben Franklin was also a loyalist. So how does that? So it creates all kinds of complexities where we get to then have a fun time exploring the ideals of liberty and free will and what that would look like in a future where the algorithms dictate every move humanity takes.
And we're there right now. I mean, because you start, how long ago did you first start this series? Because we've talked about it before. I mean, it's continued and it's grown, but I feel like it was very prescient, because now here we are where AI is really, I mean, it's going to dominate everything. I mean, it's going to dominate warfare. Yep. It's going to dominate every aspect of American life. We're right there by singularity. And so this was very, I mean, this was very thoughtful in anticipating that.
Yeah, I started it a decade ago, actually, and it's evolved. So we added in AI probably about 8 years ago, because AI was starting to be murmured, and we were, you know, you have AI in video games. Yeah. And so it's just kind of like thinking of like a virtual world. And I remember a lot of my friends, and me included, would get super addicted to video games. And you'd be like, oh, I could just call out sick because I'm gonna play video games all day long. And it was like, what would it be like if we just all lived in a video? Oh my gosh, that would be scary. So for me, it was just like trying to create the scariest world possible, but that's so candy coated that it would be very sweet to the world. And so that's what I think that this dystopian future would be like. And that's the world we're creating. And that Ben Franklin is like, nope, we got to stop it.
And
with lasers and robots.
Yeah. I think you were pitch perfect on that, because out of all the founders, he's the one, he was very forward. He's like, I would say maybe the most classically Tocqueville liberal of all of them. I mean, he was a very, very forward thinking. He was really the only one, like, you could send him to France and he can go over there and, you know, wine and dine with Louis and all of the nobles and get money to help fund our, you know, War of Independence. Not everybody had the patience to do it. Other people tried and they struggled, like John Adams really struggled to deal with them. But Ben Franklin was like, no, you got to finesse it. You got to handle it a certain way. He really understood the times then and the times that were coming. So he's like the perfect character through which to explore all of this. Are you going to do others? Are you going to branch off and like maybe explore with other founders?
We're going to explore with other just Americans in general. I don't want to say exactly who, but it's going, it'll be a little bit, you know, it'll be fun. We're going to have fun with it. Definitely. I think that Silence Do Good will be a moniker that gets applied to other people as Ben Franklin will kind of age out, because, you know, eventually he's got to go back. Because what we're doing is, he's 18 at this time, and he's supposed to be in England procuring a printer. And American history doesn't really know what he was doing there other than getting odd jobs trying to get back for about 3 years. So when he comes back to America, you know, we might have to change the story a bit and get a new hero in there. But for right now, we got about 3 years with Ben Franklin. And that's a lot of that can happen while you're time traveling.
Exactly. A lot that can happen. The series is Ben Franklin is Silence Duguid, Time Travel Agent. It is great. You can find it at his website as well. And they also have he's promoting the comic book pre-order campaign on Indiegogo. And you can see that the website, turkeyrobot.com. And you can check out his show, Salty and Savage, on YouTube. My good friend, always so good to have you. Would love to have you back. The next time you're all in Dallas, you need to holler. The next time we're in your neck of the remote woods, we're going to holler. Holler at you. But it's so good to see
you. Gotta come out
here. Congrats on all your success. Here's the latest. Nice, pretty foil. Look at that. This is gorgeous. You do such great work. And I appreciate that you're still an artist. And it's artistic forward, preaching second. So the politics are, it goes along naturally with it, and it makes it so much more engaging. You're a really good storyteller. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Always. I'm like, I got this. I'm like, oh, we got to have Sean on to talk about this because it's really great. And I actually, since COVID, I got really into manga and anime, and I actually started getting into your stuff more because of it. So that's like the silver lining of all of it. So it's so good to have you. Sean Salter, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll have you back.
Thank you.
Take care. Good to see you.
Bye.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of the broadcast. Of course, we can't do it without our friends. Literally the only Christian conservative cell phone provider out there, and it's Patriot Mobile. So like if you're upset that people spend money on Netflix or Amazon, you're going to get madder that you're spending more of your money on a cell phone service that donates to like gun control and DEI and CRT and all this nonsense. Patriot Mobile has affordable plans for everybody. That's great. Everybody wants to save money in this economy. But they also have great nationwide coverage. They operate on all three major networks. You're connected wherever you go. You support what you believe in. This is all about better coverage and more choice in terms of what causes you support, what causes matter to you, because your money isn't working against you at the ballot box. Like, for instance, they helped empower. They worked with grassroots parents in our town when they were fighting. We're all fighting to take back our school board from people who I can't even tell you some of the stuff that they wanted to teach in the classrooms because we have decency rules for airwaves. But that being said, They empowered the parents to be successful in taking back the school board here. And they work with people all over the country. In addition to providing top-notch cell phone service, seamless switching, 100% based U.S. customer service team. Keep your number, your phone, however you want, or upgrade. It's never been easier to switch. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Make the switch today and defend freedom with every call and text you make. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. It's a very stormy day in Texas. Ken, I think it's been thundering and rumbling the entire time we've been on air, like loudly. Like Steve can hear it through the microphone all the way in DC from where we are. That's how loud the thunder and all of that is. Like the heavens have opened up. No tornadoes though. All right, I don't want to rob you today in stupidity because I did it like twice this week. All so right. Kane, go.
It's Hillary Clinton. Get sometimes tongue-tied. I apologize for that. This is cut 11. This is what she says the Democrats need, and this is what she says the Republicans should heed. Listen to this.
We will defeat these people by winning elections. I mean, even if we win every court case, we still have to figure out how to get that enforced.
I said elections.
Even if the press does lots of exposés, you're dealing with an administration that has no shame. They don't care that they are, you know, being seen as corrupt or
being seen
cruel
as,
or
because
whatever.
Because, of course, it's all about smearing your political opponent.
She literally, took classified emails and then tried to delete the evidence.
She's
you tried
the worst.
To nation build in Libya and literally usurped the authority there.
And no matter what context we're talking about, she's the worst.
Yeah, she's absolute worst. She's never going to go away, is she? That does it for us this week, folks. I hope you have a wonderful, dry, safe weekend. I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday. In the meantime, find us YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack, the newsletter, chapter and verse. Have a great night. Have a great weekend.